So Acts 10:44-11, the books of Acts are about when Jesus told the apostles to spread the word, and this is some words by some Peter, I think. Yeah. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The Jewish believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they had heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely, no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they have been baptized in the name of Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Peter explains his actions. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God.
Thanks so much, Andrew. And indeed, yes, this comes from the book of Acts, a time where the Christian faith is being spread out, and the church of Acts had a bit of a tradition where they would send out the apostles and the disciples who would spread the message, and they would come back and give a report to their home church. And this is sort of what's happening right here, is that Peter has gone out, and this is what I'm about to read is sort of his report back to his church. Peter says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as it had come on us in the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord," that's Jesus, "had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same Spirit he gives us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Knox has recently sent out and returned 20 missionaries of our faith to the Dominican. And just like Peter testifies in the book of Acts, he said, God is alive and well and working among the Gentiles, so too we saw God alive and working among the people of the Dominican Republic. And the Dominican is still a country that is in great need of assistance. And there were three churches involved, three churches, two homes, and one mission. Our mission was simple: to be the hands and the feet of Jesus to those who are in need, to build two homes for two deserving families. In a moment, I'm going to call up a few people to share some of their stories from the Dominican, to share how they saw God at work, how they saw God answering prayers, the joy that they saw in the people of the Dominican who we were helping. God is indeed alive and well in that country, and we were so very blessed to be a part of that. So I'd love to call up the Jean family. Ken, why don't you come on up first?
Well, I had a great time, and it was fun. In fact, it's answer the prayer to have been to the Dominican. I was actually in Africa a long time ago, and I prayed 30 years ago that I would be able to go back to a mission field. So it's answer the prayer, and even better, my kids were with me. So that was fantastic. And one of the things I would say is, what I've got to say is maybe a little different than the perspective of some of the others. It was brought to my attention a couple scriptures. I'm going to just read a couple scriptures and then maybe talk a little bit about them. The early church in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And the second passage I'm just going to read is in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And it talked about the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, we build homes with our hands. We build relationships with one another. And by the way, I would say we got a great church family. And I had the privilege of getting to know a lot of our folks for an entire week. So we build homes with our hands, but we build our relationships with one another with our hearts. And we build our relationship with the Lord with our heart, mind, and soul. And what I really appreciated about the mission, you know, I have no problems helping to build buildings. That was great. But even better for me was building relationships with some of our terrific congregation here. And, you know, as I spent a week away, it was a good time to get to know the Lord a little bit better, to hear his voice, to hear what he's trying to teach me. So that's what I took away from it. You know, just great fellowship, a deeper relationship, a deeper walk with the Lord. And it was a blessing. It's always a blessing to help other people who can't help themselves. And you know, I should pause and just say, you know, I do want to thank the leadership here for Mike, for Session, for the board, the missions committee, for getting behind this trip. It's a great thing, and I said to Mike and the others during devotions one of the evenings, which, you know, I hope we can do it again in a couple years' time. You know, I'm wearing this shirt in part because, you know, we worked hard, but we also played hard, and we had lots of fun. So, thanks for your support and prayers.
Ken was very right. We got to know people in just a wonderful way. A week together teaches you so much about people. And I knew Ken was, he's in, you know, in finance, investing, so he's a numbers guy. But I had no idea he was such a bricklayer. This guy was just a machine there. I struggled to find pictures that weren't of Ken laying bricks when we were on the trip. And he brought his two wonderful children, Rachel and Stephen, with us. And thank goodness you guys were there, because your dad just wouldn't stop laying those bricks. He wasn't taking water breaks. And so Rachel and Stephen are just, you know, passing him up water. And his dad's just keep going and going and going. It was wonderful to see. We had to leave a bus behind for him, because he wasn't leaving until that last wall was finished. It was a fantastic opportunity to get to know the Gene family a little bit more. Rachel, you want to come up and share with us?
Being in the Dominican was a truly life-changing experience. Seeing a totally different way of life from what we're used to here at home was amazing and heartbreaking all at the same time. The best memory that I would like to share was when we got to meet the families that are going to be moving into the two homes that we built. There was such a stark difference between the homes that they are currently living in and the homes that they will be moving into in June. There were so many incredible memories from the trip, but that's definitely would be the number one for me. The most challenging thing from the trip would have to have been seeing the stark difference in living conditions and way of life between what we're accustomed to here and what they live in down there. There were even the simplest things that we take for granted, the week in the Dominican really put things in perspective. I got to see my dad and my brother Stephen, who were both on the trip, do things outside of their comfort zone and really thrive while doing them, and that was really special for me to see. I've grown up going to church my whole life. I grew up in a family with a very strong faith, and I went to a Christian school, but my faith grew exponentially throughout this whole trip. Seeing how woven into the Dominican culture their faith is and how happy and willing to serve the local people are really strengthened my faith. Even we had our translator's name was Dennis and our bus driver's name was Manuel, and they were both two of just the happiest, most like faithful people, and it was just really heartwarming. I also felt closer to God and just comforted and supported throughout the whole trip by the group and by locals. It was truly a blessing to be on this trip and to have the opportunity to serve God in this way with an incredible group of people.
My time in the Dominican Republic was rewarding and humbling. I've only been on trips previously for vacation, so this was a special experience as it was my first time being a missionary. Starting off from our first bus ride, when our driver Manuel picked us up from the airport, I immediately noticed some differences between their way of life and ours. The roads weren't really paved. There weren't really any regulations for driving around. The streets were covered in litter with garbage everywhere. And it was a little surprising and eye-opening to see all the major things that we take for granted living here in a country like Canada. Throughout the week, we built and painted houses with other churches, along with the Dominican workers hired by the Samaritan Foundation. And it was a special moment seeing everyone work together toward a common goal for the benefit of someone else, a group of strangers. And it was especially refreshing to see the work ethic and the speed of the Dominican workers. They went nonstop with little breaks for water or just to take some time off, 6 days a week in the scorching heat. This is definitely something I believe I can take back home with me here, and whenever I'm tired or feel like complaining about a task I don't want to do, I'm going to remember these guys. So all in all, it definitely was a great experience, which I'd love to do again in a couple years.
Our construction, on the construction site, our team had two primary jobs. One was painting homes that had been finished, and the other was to build the two homes that we had sponsored and paid for. Ruth was one of our very faithful painters. She was regularly at the paint site. It's not an easy job. You're in the heat all day long with little relief, but her and her crew were faithful workers and completed 15 homes in just a number of days. They did very, very well. And Cliff joined our construction team and worked on the second home. Now, Cliff ended up working with a rather ornery construction gentleman who just, I don't think, really wanted the help or wanted to do everything his way. I'm not entirely sure. But Cliff was the best partner for that gentleman because Cliff has just this wonderful, easygoing attitude. Nothing seemed to faze him. He just kept working away, and it didn't matter what. And we got so much work done on that second house because of Cliff. They both did such a wonderful job. Thank you. Love to come call you up to share a little bit with our church family.
Something I was curious all the way along, and I never did it till I got here and looked at the pictures. The size of the house that we built was about 18 feet deep and about 14 to 16 feet wide. Lots of people here have a rec room that big. These people, that's the size of their house. Anyway, during the fine time away from the routines of living in Canada and no cell phones, we saw young people and older people sharing a common goal of giving someone else a gift that they cannot pay for. It was a gift of love and caring by someone they did not know before this trip. This reminded me of God's grace that is extended to us, even though we do not always deserve it. This time away allowed us to share our life, experience, and energy to provide a family with a place to call their home and a place that they can be happy to live together. It is a place away from the desperately poor circumstances of broken buildings and poor sanitation, as you can see in the pictures outside in the gathering hall. The change in circumstances to a brand new building can bring hope and support for others in their neighborhood who have come from the same type of poverty. The cement block buildings are created to withstand their weather in the Caribbean, and Cliff enjoyed working with the Dominican people building the house with blocks. This village-like circumstances can connect the new homeowners with other Christians who can support them in their Christian life. Their local churches are nearby and have members who understand and support the new arrivals in their effort to improve their circumstances. The best part of the trip was seeing how our efforts impacted the people who we came in contact with during the time in the Dominican Republic, and how the exchange of feelings and affected each member. One of the sadder moments in the trip was the time we spent in the hospital giving out small gift bags with things like toothpaste, toothbrushes, razors, soap, deodorant, and small toys. One woman in particular that affected me was the woman whose husband was ill and sleeping in bed. His bag of items, which was given to her, included a razor that she was thrilled to get. If you are involved in an accident in this country, there is nothing much in the hospitals to support your unexpected arrival. You have to bring your own toilet paper, sheets, towels, soap, paper towels, toothpaste, and brush, as nothing there is provided like that. Your family has to help you and look after you while you're in the hospital and even help feed you. One of the happier moments I have was the older woman who had been waiting for quite a while to have her house painted. The houses around her had been done, but her house hadn't been done yet. She had been watching us across the street from her home while we were painting a neighbor's house, and she kept asking when her house was going to get painted. When she saw we were coming to paint her house, she was smiling from ear to ear because she knew her house was going to get painted in a color that she could choose from the brightly colored cans that we had available. The Dominican people are more demonstrative and expressive than the general public of Canada. They freely hug, laugh, and talk loudly. The children at the school where we visited were enthusiastic, boisterous, and full of energy. They loved getting stickers and playing games with the young people of our group. No one seemed to worry about getting hurt or while they were running around in all different directions. The children loved that people spent time with them. They have very little, if any, for toys, so have invented many small games that they use with their hands. Someone spending time with them is a precious gift and enthusiastically enjoyed. My trip to the Dominican reinforced the fact that I have been very blessed to live in Canada with all the support benefits that are provided to me and my family. I'm also thankful for the opportunity to live in close proximity to our members while we were away. It allowed us to get to know each other very well because we lived in the same facility and were fed at the same time and as a group, so it worked out very well. And we really appreciated the facility that they provided.
And I guess the one experience that kind of shocked me while we were doing all this, the people who were laying the cement blocks, and they were natives, and they were all speaking their languages back and forth. And if I had to speak to them, I had to try and give them all kinds of sign language. But my biggest shock at the end of the last day, I'm up high with him, and I said to him, just him and I, and I said, if I put the mortar in place for you, would that help you out? And he said, he kind of nodded yes. And then as I got about 5 or 10 feet from him, he started speaking perfect English without an accent. He goes to university in Canada and the United States, comes home every summer to do the work at home.
Thank you so much, both of you. In a moment, the next person I'd like to call up is Hannah Fleet. Now, I've known Hannah for about 5 years now. Something I learned the trip is what a caring sister that she's become. Hannah has an older brother, Neil, who came with us on the 2017 trip. And whenever I ask her how she's doing and what's going on, always brings up Neil, how he is, where he is, what he's doing. Hannah has a very caring spirit for her family, and she carries that with her wherever she goes. So Hannah, we'd love to hear your story. Come on up.
I was really, really, really excited to go on this trip. My brother talked a lot about it 2 years ago, but I didn't have the opportunity to go. And I didn't realize how important it was until I was there. And it just like opened my eyes to everything like I haven't seen before. And I was really able to push myself like physically and mentally when I was there, and I made some great friends and got to know a bunch of new people, so that was really great. What I took most away from the trip that will have an effect on me forever is just seeing how happy people can be even if they have so little. And I was shown this most when we were visiting the orphanage. And while I was looking through the bin of toys that they had for all the kids to play with, I noticed that most of them would usually like make noise or light up when you pressed a button. And I sat there like trying to press the buttons and it didn't work. Like half of the toys were broken or they didn't have batteries, but it didn't matter to any of the kids. They had those broken toys and they played with what they could and they just had such a great time. And I feel like if here we wouldn't have seen that, if it didn't work or if it didn't light up, it would have been tossed aside, not perfect. And I think that really stuck with me, and it just reminded me that I have so much, and I have to appreciate everything that I have here. And also, we had a great time at the school. The kids really enjoyed stickers and balloons, and they really enjoyed just like chasing everyone for the stickers and balloons. And they just seeing how happy stickers can make people, really, it's eye-opening.
One of my biggest concerns when planning a multi-church missions trip was how and if the different groups were going to bond. I've been on trips where conflict negatively impacted the mission work, and our first night there, you could see the different churches huddled together. Knox is over here, Shane Presbyterian, there's Trinity over there, all sort of into our little tribes. I think it was the very next night that I saw Fawn and Abby over sitting with the teens from another church. I kind of wandered over to find out what was happening, and I discovered they brought this big bag of colorful, I think it was like string, and they're all making friendship bracelets together. And that was it. That was the catalyst that started our groups bonding together. And every night after that, it was less Knox and Shane and Trinity and more some of the young people and some of the adults over here, people mixing in different ages and different churches. That was wonderful. And so thank you, girls, so much for being that catalyst just to bond our teams together. That was wonderful. So I'd love to call up the Jakes family to come on up and share. And Tom, we'll have you come on up first.
Thank you so much for giving us a chance to tell the story. So I got a little title for mine. I'm calling it Service Our Neighbors in DR. This was my 10th mission trip that I've done and my second to Dominican. So I've got a little bit of experience, but everyone is different. You know, we made a very small change in their country, but a very big change for two families, totally changing their lives with this new home. But I think it made a bigger change to the 20 people that went from Knox, coming back home, and how it will potentially change our lives forever. Some of the highlights, we were in a guest house, which was really a lockdown compound. Everybody has a fence around their property, which we did, and it's run by two Canadians, and we all stayed together, so it was great. Every night we were all together, we couldn't go anywhere, we had no internet, which was quite amazing. And we went out every day and we built for 4 hours approximately, and one day we did a full day. So we probably built about 20 hours. And then in the other half of the day, we did these five other events. We went to the school and we served lunch to, you know, a few hundred kids. And watching the kids interact with each other, it was just hilarious. I sat back and very soon this little girl, her name was Anna, came and sat with me and became my girlfriend for the next hour, and we held hands, and we couldn't speak really too much, but she wanted to hang out with some old hairy guy. She kept, you know, touching my hairy arms, and then another day we went to this orphanage, and 2 years ago when I went there, it was very, 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 very touching. Nun that works there, Sister Mercedes, really is the closest I'll ever get to seeing Mother Teresa. She was just an amazing lady. And taking care of 12 or 14 very handicapped children who in their society are kind of abandoned. And it was an amazing experience seeing our kids interact, and you guys did a great job. And then on a happier note, we went to the church for one service, and it was just amazing. It was almost like a Pentecostal revival, and the singing was loud, and the preaching, there were seven or eight people from the community that preached, and some of it we could understand, some of it we couldn't, but it was, we just had a great time, and we were all hugging and shaking hands with people on the way out. And then the one day we went to visit a hospital, very, very touching, and imagine going into a Canadian hospital and knocking on the door and asking if we could come and pray with them. I don't think it would be quite as well received. And Dominican, you know, it's supposedly about 78% Christian, and we were received everywhere, and they welcomed us in, and we prayed with total strangers, and it was a very, very touching experience. And then the last day we went to their trade school. So not only have they built this village, but they built this trade school, and they're teaching people how to hairstyle and do makeup and so forth. And then there's a sewing where they're creating anything you can do with a sewing machine, and there was 20 or 30 sewing machines. And then they had a wood shop that was very, very impressive, which one day we got rained out, so we actually worked in the wood shop. And then they had an electrical shop where they were teaching people to become electricians. So it was, you know, they've really got a really nice system, and I'd strongly recommend the Samaritan Foundation, go check it out. It is based out of Welland, and a fella, very successful businessman, went out there for a vacation, and he went to church and met the minister, and then he had lunch with him and saw what type of house he lived in, and long story short, he started this charity. It's amazing how little things can happen. I'll tell you a couple stories about my roommates, Ken and Cliff. Two gentlemen who, you know, bottom line, I didn't know too much. You know, I'd said hello, and we became very good friends, staying together for a whole week. And the thing I'll remember about Ken is he likes the room cold. We had an air conditioner, and I had to sleep with a couple shirts on usually most nights. We negotiated a higher temperature by the end of it. And then Cliff... How Ken and myself let this happen, but we had a bunk bed, which Cliff volunteered to have. And the very first night, in the middle of the night, Cliff fell out of bed. But luckily, he's very, very athletic, and he landed perfectly, and it didn't hurt himself. And we laughed about it for the rest of the week. So some of the special things... getting to know the other 20 people from the church was very, very special. We spent 8 days together. And what we can do differently in our country once we come back, I'd like to think that we'll try to be happy every day, which I do. And I'm going to really try to share my gifts. And I'm going to try to give more of our time and resources to others. And enjoy what you have and use it well. I'll end with one more little story. Every night we were playing cards and games, and Diane from 2 years ago, we found out she's a poker player. So at Christmas time, she gave me a little portable poker chip thing that I brought, and we played Texas Hold'em. And Stephen, he just learned how to play poker his very first game. He got dealt by myself a royal flush, which his dad quickly figured out is one in 3 million chance. So that was pretty good. And then Andrew, the second night, jumped in and won the whole thing. So watch out if you ever play with those three people. They're quite players. Obviously, all these things can't happen without finances. And I want to thank everyone in the church that has made a donation to this. I think it is a great cause. I think it's very good for our church. And I think it was well use of our resources. Thank you very much.
Okay. So
So during the trip, I couldn't help but compare the ministry to the last trip. A lot of things were more challenging than the last time, but for the most part, they were easier. I found that there was a lot of improvement in the living conditions in the area surrounding Puerto Plata. For example, the hospitals were less crowded, more people were out of the slums, and the Samaritan Foundation had made a lot of progress. I still believe that there's still a lot more work to be done, but things are definitely headed uphill. Throughout all of the trip's challenges, I remember the passage from Matthew, basically stating that whatever deeds we do unto others, under Jesus' name, we are doing unto him. This message gave me a lot of strength moving forward in the week and made my actions more meaningful. One of my favorite memories from the trip, although challenging, was our trip to the orphanage, and not only playing with the 15 kids, but also giving Sister Mercedes hope and a blessing that she may use to continue supporting and loving each of the children. I think the most difficult part was realizing that the two-year-old boy from the trip in 2017 was still there. He's four now, and he may be there for the rest of his life. However, he will be in amazing care, as Sister Mercedes is a wonderful, strong woman with a heart of gold. Throughout the trip, God tested me with my physical strength while moving bricks and my emotional strength at the hospital and orphanage. But in the end, I understood the meaning and the importance of mission trips and their ability to open up your eyes to see the poverty and need among others. They allow you to make a tiny difference, but in the long run can become a huge difference. To those of you thinking of doing a missions trip in the future, I would highly recommend it. However, even if you are able to make small changes to your community, like volunteer work or simply making someone smile once a day, you could end up affecting others' lives for the better. And as I say in the DR, Dios te bendiga, God bless you.
So this was my first time on a mission trip, and it was a great experience. While in the Dominican, I learned many things. I learned about the different culture. Even though families had less than us, they were usually happier than Canadian families. And there's a great sense of community. All of the houses had open doors, and we got friendly waves from everybody. And I saw some neighbors giving other neighbors cookies while working. And there were always kids playing together far from their houses with us, like strangers. And like that would never happen in Canada. I learned that I could live a whole week without Wi-Fi. I learned that while in a brick moving line, you have to move rapido, rapido, no despacito. I learned that painting a house is more work than it seems, and I learned how to be more comfortable praying out loud. Some highlights of the trip include meeting people from the other churches, learning Spanish from kids and teaching them English, and also handing out donation bags to patients at a hospital. But my number one highlight is meeting the families of the houses we were building. They're both very grateful, and seeing their reactions was very heartwarming and made all the days working in the heat worth it. It made me remember the purpose of the trip and the effect we made.
Thank you so much, ladies. As the girl said, there was no Wi-Fi down there, or rather there was, and I just said, told the team before we ever went, I said, no one's getting the Wi-Fi password. This is a Wi-Fi free trip. No need for internet. We'll let your families know that you're okay at home and everything, but we're just going to spend the time together. And it's a little bit of a struggle, you know, there's some pushback from some people and everything, but by night six, I had promised, I'll open it up on the last night so we can kind of book our seats and everything like that, and you guys can go online if you want. And I can't remember which one of the young ladies sitting up here it was, but interrupted me and said, no, don't do it. Don't give us the Wi-Fi password, because if you do, we'll just sit on our phones. And this is the last night we have together with these people. Let us spend it with them and not on our phones. And I was just like, wow, absolutely. It was, yeah. The last person I'd like to call up is Diane Jones. And Diane is responsible for so many of the photos that you are seeing here today. So I really had to make sure I looked to find some of Diane, because she's always the one behind the camera and just doing such a lovely job helping us to capture those memories and bring home those stories. Diane was, in so many ways, just like Claire, one of our team moms, walking around, making sure everyone was all right, making sure people were drinking their water, were taking their breaks, making sure sure people had extra sunscreen. And we really need that with a big team, people who are there to care for us as we're caring for others. So Diane, please come on up and share a little bit with your church family.
To construction every day, or painting. Hola.
Hola.
Gracias. And now you have my entire Spanish vocabulary. So don't think you can't go if you don't speak Spanish. As Mike said, once again, I had the privilege of being the photographer and the designated grandmother on our mission team, though the kids are more likely to call me the designated nagger. But you know, we had to keep them hydrated and covered with sunscreen, and that's why we don't have great tans when we got back, and we don't have great burns either. I was pleased to have two other seniors, Ruth and Cliff, join me, and they had a ton of energy. You may wonder how someone who has to sit through the hymns here survives on a mission trip. The answer is simple. I have a travel stool. Pictures. About 2,000 of them, I think. So the important thing is that you can go. I encourage all of you, unless you're 95 maybe, to join our next mission trip. And whenever I looked even a little bit tired, someone grabbed my bag and carried it for me. We had wonderful teammates. Well, I have a whole page of my favorite things on the mission trip, but I'm going to concentrate mostly on one. And that was the last Saturday morning. Our Knox team bus, we had two buses, one for each group, left the construction site a half hour early to go visit our 2017 home. Unfortunately, our bus parked at the very bottom of the very big hill. In 2017, we parked halfway up. The bus can't get all the way up. That's how steep it is. So with the help of the McKenzie family, thanks, Maria, they were also going slow because Corey had injured his leg, but we all made it to the top. The first wave of our group had already found the mother and youngest daughter home and were crowded in the front door. So I impatiently waited for them to exit, and I was the first one in the second wave. The mother immediately recognized me and was so happy to see us. I got a grin this big and arms open and welcomed me with a huge hug. That was the highlight of my trip. It was just fabulous to see how they've settled in, planted flowers around the house, decorated nicely, and as we turned to leave, see the graduation picture of their older daughter proudly hanging on the wall. And they found out after that she has graduated from high school, lovely white gown, and she is now living at one of the other housing communities near the vocational school and taking training further there. And we didn't see the sun, so I presume he was off with friends because it was a Saturday. Now, I just loved that visit, especially the great smile the mom gave us. As you can see, it's in one of the pictures out there of the group, the lady in red in the middle and the little girl beside her, the youngest. And you can just see what a difference we've made in their lives. They could afford to send the daughter to school. Thank you. And we could, plant her own garden and really thrive compared to where the house we had seen in 2017. We couldn't all get in, and there were only 16 of us, and we could see the rest through the holes in the walls, basically, and holes in the ceiling, and it was right down in the worst of the slums. So it's just made a huge difference, and your contributions have done that. And the other good news was that house was on the top of the hill on the north side of the Dominican Republic where the hurricane hit. And it's standing, and it's doing fine. So it was wonderful to see God's answer to our 2017 prayers so evident in that family's joy now and the joy of the new families anticipating that they too will have two houses. They'll be neighbors, and they will be just as happy when we come back and visit them in 2021. In summary, we built two houses, painted a village, or 15 houses, built louvered windows for 5 more houses, and painted enough windows for 8 more houses, I think Ken figured out. And that was a new talent, because some of us aren't great at hammering, but we all learned to build and paint the windows. And we hadn't done that the previous time, so it was a new adventure for us. In my other role, my other hat, see, change hats, no. I'm convener of the Mission and Outreach Committee, and I want to thank Mike. Come on up, Mike. Mike not only planned the trip and worked with the other churches in Presbytery and got 2 more churches to learn how to do mission trips, and we hope they'll do their own in the future so we can invite others and keep this growing. I don't know if somebody have their book. Ruth, can you reach mine? Thank you. Yeah, just hold that up. He did this whole book for each of us to have devotions every morning, group devotions and debriefing every evening. A lot of advance work. And so we owe a great deal to Mike, and we thank you and hope you enjoy your week off. Well, it's a study week, isn't it?
Study week, yeah. Yep.
So it won't be quite off, but we thank you so much for all the work you did on behalf of the church.
Thank you, so
thank, you thank you. And in addition to thanking Mike, as others have, the Mission and Outreach Committee loves you. Thank you so much for all your support for this. You supported our events, you gave through the Christmas Fund, and you supported us in prayer. And we all got back safely, and this time we even got the week after safely, and we thank you. We thank you for your prayers, and we ask you to continue to pray for our family and for our next trip. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane. Someone asked me if I was going to share something, and so I will do that, but briefly. The best part of a missions trip for me is today. This is the best part for me. I love seeing how God has worked in our team. I love the stories. I love to see how God has broken down the barriers and the sin in people's lives, and how we see our team changed and come back stronger with deeper faith. This is the most rewarding day for me of a missions trip. I was so, so blessed to have some wonderful people to work with. And thank you so much to Session for allowing this trip, for the Mission and Outreach Committee for your backing, the praise team, the company of saints, the ladies in the sewing committee, wherever you might be here, all 20 of those bags. That was a wonderful undertaking. Gene Wilkinson and Diane Bulmer and all of the rest of you who contributed your time and your donations. We couldn't have done this without you. Thank you so very much for everything you gave. I'm greatly and deeply privileged to be able to be here and to lead this. It was a wonderful trip. So again, thank you so much. And just maybe another round of applause for our missions team.